Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for the privilege that we can be here again. At this weekend, we hardly counted with visitors from outside because we expect that on Pentecost everybody will come and that it is no more so possible as previously to travel such distances. And yet we are happy with all our hearts about all who have come, and we hope that God will bless us. I have already a richly blessed day behind me. Just 2 hours ago, I was still in Zurich, and a couple of minutes ago, I drove onto the yard. It was a wonderful day, a wedding on which tears were rolling down over the cheeks of unbelieving people in a church. God blessed mightily. You have no idea what is going on in the hearts of those who hear the word of God for the first time. A young woman sat in the front, in the first row. She was shaking and the tears were rolling down. People were touched, deeply moved, touched on the inside by the word of the Lord. And I tell you the secret. The secret is always therein, as someone is received, whether one preaches in the liberty of the Spirit, going to the front, the tower, the bells, all these are minor points. The people who are inviting, who welcome someone, who on the way to the airport stop and say, "Brother Frank, the greatest joy you prepared for us, that you have come." Also afterward, unbelieving people spoke to me. And we hope that God will have a rich fruit from this day. A young man who wanted to go to Peru as a missionary, he came to me and said, "Listen, mister, what is it all about? Who are you? What is it?" I said, "Not the question is important, but what does God do? What is it all about in the kingdom of God?" And one could see that the Spirit of God was working in him. And then I could take myself the time for our brother, beloved Brother Werner Sieg. We were invited for lunch and we had wonderful, deep fellowship. And then Brother Gauci brought me to the airport, and so that it just I made it on time. A wonderful day. I use now a human term. When the air is clean, when the hearts are pure, when the word can fall into it, then one doesn't have to preach a strong sermon. Then the Spirit of God is at work in a mighty way through the word and through the Spirit. And more we don't need. I will still think long time back to this day. You can imagine that Sister and Brother Laumer, Brother and Sister Furrer, and Brother Sieg, and Sister, and who they were there. They all extended their heartfelt greetings to all of you. And we are happy about this deep fellowship with God and with one another. Don't you ever believe that one can be joined with God without to be joined with one another? This is deception, self-deception of a high degree. Whoever is joined with God is joined with all who are born of God. And the Holy Scripture says it in the Epistle of John, whoever loves God loves all his children. There's no other way. That's how God led it. And so it is. And by it, it remains. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's still the time of grace. We can still come to him. When the singers have sung the song, when all the fog will be over, believe me, on that glorious morning, when Jesus comes, it will not be a cloudy sky. Everything will be clear. The best view, the most very clear sky will be on that glorious morning when Jesus comes. Every cloud, every darkness, every fog will have been disappeared forever. And the Lord, in the radiance and in the majesty, he will come down, and his own will meet him in the air. And by grace, we may be part of it. This is not a self-conceit. This is divine reality. This is a established fact. I would like it best to sing a couple of choruses today. You all know how it is. We translate so many sermons through which God in a mighty way speaks to all. And the longer, the more, clear, the deeper, and the more deep. That what we make at our gatherings, or what we want to reach with our gatherings, this is that God comes to his right. That the sermons which we read, which we hear, that they have an impact, and that God can give his blessing, which he promised, pouring it upon us. How we are here today, with an open heart, with a believing heart, nothing what can hinder us to come into the presence of God, then we will be blessed. And the time, as I see, runs, of course, very quickly. We have heard a wonderful word, a word which applies to the millennium. And this we can read in Ezekiel 47. We can compare it. Revelation 22 and Ezekiel 47 speak of the same thing. And we read almost the same words, at least at some places. I don't want to go into details. It was, of course, read. But in Ezekiel 47, it says, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house. Then verse 7, now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Because then verse 12, and by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Exactly the same we read already in Revelation 22. Everywhere there, where I used timely terms, there it doesn't deal with eternity. When 12 times fruit comes forth in the year, when we are dealing with months, or when they are mentioned months or years, then eternity has not started. In eternity, there are no years, no months anymore. Eternal is eternal, and therefore without any timely terms. As it is described here, this is the condition in the millennium. Brother Goldner told us, when a couple of days ago we were at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, no Jew who prays there at the Wailing Wall ends his prayer without having mentioned, Lord, let the temple be rebuilt. Let me have part in it and fill it with your glory. This is just a thing which God planned, and these people bear it in their hearts because they believe God's word, because namely that part which is determined for them. And it becomes greater and greater to us that everyone can only believe what is determined for him. The Jews, that what is determined for them. The bride, that what is determined for her. And the church, what is determined for her. All can only believe that and so much as it is determined for them. Blessed is he who can believe as Abraham believed. And with all, trusting the Lord with all his heart, that he will fulfill his promises. I would like to read from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 29. I would like
im kurzen Abschnitt in Kapitel 28 beginnen.
Ja. Deuteronomy 29,
Vers 59, wenn ich es richtig
sehe. Verse 1.
Vielleicht 69. Mit der Brille.
With the glasses and without glasses. It's difficult. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Perhaps we stop here a bit at this verse. God already made a covenant. His people were on the way 40 years. He nourished them in every way. He took care. And then at the end of this journey, God made a covenant. So to say, he gave new instructions before they crossed over into the land of promise. We have seen the mountains of Moab. I read it once again. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord has not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Let us stop here a bit. Moses reminds on the by the commission of the Lord, he reminds the people to the leading out, to the great signs and miracles, to that what he did amongst them and on Pharaoh. All that, what they experienced. And nevertheless, although of the great miracles, it speaks of the great miracles which they have seen with their own eyes and of all the great signs and miracles which they witnessed and experienced. And this was something mighty. It was, of course, the work of God. And those who belonged to the people of God, they have seen everything. They experienced everything. And they marveled at it. They spoke of it. And God says, after all these years, he says through Moses, but unto this day, the Lord has not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. Can we imagine this? The people of God being led out with a mighty hand. They saw the great miracles and signs of God, trembling at the mountain when God spoke from the fire. They've seen how the Red Sea was divided before their eyes and they went through it. They've seen everything, experienced everything. 40 years they were nourished, drink and food. And after all this time, the Lord says through the mouth of Moses, yet unto this day the Lord has not given you an heart to perceive, no heart no eyes to see, and no ears to hear. We would say, this was said. Although these people have seen everything, and nevertheless, they didn't see it. They have heard everything, and nevertheless, they didn't hear it. They have seen it with these eyes. They have heard it with these ears. God wants that what He speaks, that we hear it with the ears of the heart, and that what He does, that we see it with the eyes of the heart. Spiritual things must be discerned spiritually. These people, they have seen everything. They marveled at it. They spoke about it. Their heart was far away from it. In their mouth, or with their mouth, they could testify what their eyes have seen. But thanks be to God, in the New Testament, it is different. In the New Testament, we believe with all our hearts, and we confess with our mouth. Faith sets in our hearts, not only after 40 years, but on the day on which we meet God. And I think this the Lord wants to show us here. It continues. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. This was already a miracle which they saw on themselves. They didn't only see miracles at Pharaoh and at the Red Sea or through the food and drink, but they themselves, every individual, was a miracle of God. The same shoes which they had on in the night when the Pesach lamb was killed, the same garment which they wore, they had it on after 40 years, and not one heel was skew. No shoemaker had to repair any shoe. The grace and by the power and by the caring of God. And now the conclusion. But unto this very day, despite of all these things, despite you have seen all these miracles, you are a miracle. Look at your shoes. After 40 years, everything new. Look at your suit. After 40 years, it's still new. A miracle from top to bottom. And nevertheless, the Lord, unto this day, ye haven't perceived me. You have eyes, and nevertheless, you didn't see. You have ears, but you didn't hear properly. You all know what is meant by it. The same the prophet Isaiah says. The same is being mentioned in the New Testament. With seeing eyes they don't see, and with hearing ears they hear not, because they have a hardened heart, and with their hearts they always went astray. Of course, not with their feet, with their hearts, because they could not believe. All of us, we can hardly imagine this, that God on one hand at the people He does such great things, which all the others could see on them, from top to bottom. Then the shoes, after on their shoes, they could see that God kept and preserved. What good is the outward preservation and keeping over the many years, when God at the end of such a generation has to say, but a heart to perceive me, this you didn't get yet. You have eyes, and to read it literally, to have eyes and ears, no ears to hear. Outwardly, they have seen well. Of an oculist, nothing is reported. They did hear well. Of an otologist, nothing is being read. Outwardly, everything was correct. But God looks into the heart. And God requires that we believe, namely believing with all our hearts, not only because we see, but because God has spoken. For me, this is a great lesson. Before entering, before crossing into the land of promise, after the 40 years of the journey in the wilderness, before Moses said goodbye to the people, which God has led out through him, this conclusion is established. 40 years is a long time, and after everything what God has done during these 40 years, the heart was not reached. Was it then worthwhile? Beloved, God in these days, before we enter the land of promise, he wants to speak to us. We shall not only see with our natural eyes, hearing with our natural ears, and even discuss about these things. But as I said last Wednesday night, a food is not for discussions, but he who has appetite, let him sit down and eat. God left unto us his word. And we can speak of the most mighty things which God, let us say it, which God did through the ministry of Brother Branham. We can speak of the revelations. And after 40 years, God can then still say, unto this day, you have no understanding. You didn't yet know me. You don't have eyes to see, and you have no ears to hear. Because it's important whether we just hear a Moses or a Paul, or whether we hear God from these words. And when God speaks to us, then to our hearts, not to discuss about it. Every man whom God ever addressed unto this day, really addressing him, nobody has seen in a discussion a man to whom God had spoken. He knew what was said, and he went on his way, and he believed God. It was never talked to death. You can take all the men of God. Do you think a Noah or someone spoke about the speaking of God? Everyone did what the Lord commanded him. And in the carrying out of the divine plan of salvation, there was the blessing. And I think the same happened in our time. It was not given for our disposition or to talk about certain things. Talking is not in the house of God. Whoever wants to have talking or entertainment must go there where entertainment is given to him. In the house of God, God speaks with his people. There we have the right to hear his word. And I think the time is here, as it was then. God made already the covenant, long time. And right here, in the land of Moab, right the mountains there, which lies eastward of the River Jordan, at the height of Jericho, reaching down to the Dead Sea, at the height of En-Gedi. We just have seen it now. Before Moses went over, God spoke once again. He renewed the covenant. And he wanted to say to his people, all that I by grace have done for you. I have nourished you. I have taken care of you, giving you food and drink, your clothes, your shoes, everything I preserved and kept. And nevertheless, you didn't know me. Beloved, I'm reminded here on a word, which perhaps is written in John 14. I think it was Philip who said, Lord, show us the Father. And the Lord says, so long have I been with you, and you didn't know me yet. I think also the two disciples, which went to Emmaus, their eyes were held. They spoke about everything, but they didn't recognize him who walked with them. And they asked, are you the stranger who doesn't know what happened in these days with Jesus of Nazareth in Jerusalem? Their eyes were held. At that time, the prophetic statements which were fulfilled in our Lord, they didn't understand it yet. But then was the time fulfilled, and the understanding came. The Lord opened unto his own, after his resurrection, the understanding for the scripture. And he started with Moses and all the prophets, and he revealed to them that everything had to be fulfilled. Some years they walked with the Lord, and nevertheless their eyes were held. They could not yet understand. And now we again experience it. And it's really heartbreaking when one sees that Jews are waiting for the Messiah. How they kiss the Torah, the five books of Moses, which they read, and how they wrestle and supplicate. And when then Isaiah 53 is being read, and the question is being asked, as I did also, of whom does the prophet speak here? Of himself or of someone else? A veil is upon their heart. But today, the Lord speaks to us. Today, it's not about the people of Israel at the time of Moses or at our time. Today, it is about you and about me. God spoke. He made a covenant. His people is gathered. He wants to manifest himself. He wants to lead over. He wants to bring in. He wants to fulfill and confirm his promises. Has God given us eyes that we can see? Has he given us ears that we can hear? Has he given us a heart which believes and understands? At that time, he had to say, unto this day. But he didn't say that it remains like this. The hour was come. The ministry of Moses was over. God once again reminded what had taken place since the leading out unto the moment when they stood opposite of Jericho on the mountains of Moab before they crossed the River Jordan into the land of promise. Beloved, I believe with all my heart that we arrived in a similar time before we can cross over into the land of promise. It is not enough to just speak of it, what God did in the past. Not even to look on that, what could be visible on us. God looks deeper. And he asks us the question whether we have received a heart to know him. Oh, this is something great. Many look at the sun and marvel what God has done, but they don't know who made it. To recognize him. What does Paul write to the Philippians? I want to know him, and the power of his resurrection. Didn't he recognize him? Didn't he experience him? Didn't he hear his voice? Was he not called? Didn't God could use him in a mighty way? All that happened already. And nevertheless, from the depth of his soul, he cries forth, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to have part in his sufferings, to be glorified with him. 40 years you walked in the desert. Your clothes didn't wax old on your bodies, and your shoes, they didn't wear out at your feet. How long do we walk? And already some things are askew. I mean with the heels. Here, 40 years. And everything was straight. Everything was good. God can do miracles. Spiritual and natural. Even in material things, God can do miracles. When it serves to glorify his name, and when it is a part of his plan, then the water can be like a wall, right and left. And I guarantee you, there was no bricklayer there or who had some tools. Our God is the God of heaven and the God on the earth. But nevertheless, there's something said. You see that both is here. Something which lifts up, which makes us grateful, and something said, which shall make us think. All that God did. they experience it on their own bodies. And he says, unto this day, you didn't perceive me. Let us read on. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. And when ye came unto this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto battle, and we smote them, and we took their land, and gave it for an inheritance unto Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh. You see, at what time this happened? This happened already at the time of Moses. The 2.5 tribes, which are in today's Jordan, eastward of the river Jordan, this Moses has seen still and experienced. God did already many things. God started already to distribute, to divide, to lead in, and the people of the Lord, bringing him into the inheritance. It was a special time. And in this time, he spoke to his people. And it says on, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. God wanted to say through Moses, the people can judge themselves what I did amongst them, what they have seen, what they have heard and experienced, and they shall know that even greater will take place. And it says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. This is the point on which we arrived now as the Church of the Living God. After all these years, after all that what God spoke and said, before the crossing into the land of promise, it's very important. Obey all the words of this covenant and do them. Do accordingly. Become doers of the word. And not only hearers alone. And in that moment, God is ready to do his part. Didn't we say it here after we returned? God gave back to Israel, to the land of the fathers. And it flourishes in a wonderful way. And who sowed on it? Who planted on it? Did you see God plowing? Did you see God planting trees? Who made the desert a paradise? God's people who returned, those who have come into the land of promise, God used them to fulfill his word in his land. Don't you see what it's all about? When the people of Israel would have returned and would have said, faithful Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are so happy And we are waiting now that the wilderness flourishes and that the trees are growing where thorns and thistles are. And we would have said, dear God, this will be wonderful when we will all see that. God's people knows what is to do. God does his part, but he does it with his people in the land of promise. It was more than a whole sermon. There were a couple of sermons which we received by an object lesson, and we could see an Arabic part. It was desert, void, empty. And there where God gave his blessing, it was green, flourishing. And then Brother Goldner told us, here, mostly four times in a year, it is harvested. What is it? God's people in the land of the divine promise. God prepared the way for them. He illuminated them. And he gave them grace. And the work of their hands were blessed. And by this, we see the promises fulfilled. Don't you think that the last promises which God has given to the church will be fulfilled if we put our hands into our laps? Then it is good for us when we read 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20. All promises of God are yes and amen. Through us, without us, nothing happens at all. I rather read it to you so that you know that it is written. Otherwise, somebody could come to the thought that we recite it inside out. And we can confidently emphasize that the Lord, from the beginning, he used man. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. This is the matter of God. God revealed himself in Christ. Christ reveals himself in the church. He continues his work. And this is now the thing which is in our hearts. And we ask ourselves the question, faithful God, did you give us a heart which perceives you in your doings, in your plan? Could you give us eyes, anointed eyes of the heart, which are open to see what you are doing, to see what God has done? This could many do. And to say what he will do, this also some can do. But to see what he is doing now, that's what's all about. To the glory of God by us. Dear heart, let it be said tonight to you. God doesn't know a one-man system. The body of the Lord consists of many members. And these members must be joined to a unity of God. The body must walk again. The body must be capable of acting. Everything must be restored so that God can glorify himself. And that we're not only can say, looking back, he did that and he did this, but that he can remind us and say, my people, recognize what I have done. And let it be said to you, greater things I will still do. But I need you. God needs you. God needs me. I tell you tonight, if we all, in the absolute unity, in the Spirit, appear before the throne of God gathered, then the heaven will come down on earth and everything will be possible and will take place for the glory and for the glorification of God. May this word trigger two things in you and in me, in all of us. On one hand, you see that God never destroys or bashes, leaving it lying on the ground, walking away. But he saves us. He tells us how it is with us. He lets us know the truth. And he says, my people, this and that I have done. You have seen it, and yet you didn't see it. You have heard it, and yet you didn't hear it. You didn't understand yet what I plan. And then he gives us the comfort and says, the 2.5 tribes, they are already settled. Og and they are already destroyed. They are already conquered. And the rest will also be conquered. Every tribe will reach its territory which God promised. The Lord God, so wonderful, he causes us to examine ourselves and to think about. And in the midst of all that, he has a comfort. And he says, my people know what I did on those who were my natural covenant people. What is with you? What I will do with you, the new covenant people? We may trust our God with all our heart and soul. For me, in this phase, it's a great lesson for me. And I think I ask God for it, to reveal it fully to me and to each one of us, and to showing it to all of us what it is all about now, not 20 years ago, not 30 or 40 years ago, of what it is about now. And our God is on the throne, and by grace we can walk on forward with him as his covenant people. We, in as much as he gives us grace, we will obey his statutes and commands, and we will prosper. I've said it here before, when the brother told us there, to the question whether they are not afraid of the enemies. And so quick-witted as he is, he says, God watches over us, but we must be attentive. And I thought by myself, this is the thing. God watches over us, but we must be attentive. We cannot say, we sleep and snore. The Lord says, watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. God watches over us, but we must beware, and we must understand that we have divine rights, and that we may make use of these divine rights. We must use these divine rights. The enemy may not longer put his hand on the inheritance of his people. That what God determined for us, this is ours forever and ever. And this he will give it to us by his grace. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for your precious and holy word. We could put off our shoes, we could kneel down before your face, because you have spoken with us. Thank you that you take your word, and by this you let us know your ways and your doings. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light on our path. Gratefully we recognize what you have done on us and on many. And we thank you already for the announcement and promise that we will see even greater things. Faithful God, it's not a straw fire and not a temporal enthusiasm, but it's a word of promise anchored in our souls, which we carry and of which we are carried. Beloved Lord, you have brought your people up to here. Now, look at us graciously. And from this day on, give us a heart which knows you, eyes which see you, ears which hear you. From today on, Lord, at the time you said, unto this day, Lord my God, let it take place, that it could be said from today on. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory and worship be to your name. Lord, I thank you for this word. I know that you have given it. Faithful Lord, take us all. Lord, consecrate us anew with all our hearts. I ask you, O God, unto this day you brought us. Lord, so that your enemies cannot say that you were not able to finish your work. Come down to your people in a very special way. May from this day on be in us the same spirit as it was in Joshua and Caleb. Faithful Lord, we could look over into the land. We arrived at the point. Thanks be to you. Praise, honor, and glory Hallelujah. Oh, you are a great God, a wonderful God, a glorious God. And we give you the honor, and we thank you already for that, what you are about to do. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was not such a day. My God, I thank you for it. And I praise your name. Lord, rule with your spirit in our midst. And give grace that each one understands everything correctly, rightly, by revelation of the Spirit, recognizing you as the Almighty God, to whom all things are possible. Lord, you promised to us, when we obey the words of your covenant, you will be with us, and we will prosper. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory, and worship be to your name. Bless your people. Establish, strengthen in the faith, and reveal yourself unto us. Join us together through your Spirit, and crown us with mercy and loving kindness. Blessed and praised be your name. Amen.